It's the Pete Hoffman Show on WFAN.
Pete Alonso, do you want to be a Met? You've been offered contracts and you've declined everything that the Mets have offered you. So do you really want to be a Met for life? I believe he does. I believe that Pete Alonso does want to be a New York Met. I believe that he wants to be paid, though, in a way that he thinks he should be. Now, you want to go through all these contracts. You want to talk about all these contracts. You know, oh, look at the first baseman. They don't get paid a lot of money. But Pete Alonso to the New York Mets is more valuable than Pete Alonso on any other team. And I think Pete Alonso realizes that. And he wants to get paid like that. And he just saw Juan Soto get $765 million. Why should Pete Alonso not get paid what he thinks he's deserved? Pete Alonso hit a game-winning home run in Milwaukee to send the Mets to the NLDS. He had a really, really, really great playoff run this past season. Now, the regular season was crap, but he really put up at the biggest moment. And with one more season, he will surpass Darryl Strawberry as the leading home run hitter all time for the New York Mets. So he sees the historical stuff that's going on. He sees how important he is to the Mets as a player on the field with his current team, but also the history. He is a huge piece to the puzzle as far as protection for Juan Soto. But also, while being protection for Juan Soto, he's going to continue to move up in the rankings in the Mets' history, which is something that Steve Cohen has made a statement about. Like, clearly, he's trying to build the history of the New York Mets. He's trying to show that it's not just a, you know, we look at the Jets. We just talked about the Jets for an hour. Talked about how bad they were, how bad of a franchise they are. Well, the Mets, Steve Cohen is trying to change the way you view the Mets. He wants you to celebrate the history of the Mets, the history of the team, which is why they're retiring numbers, which is why they're making big deals about things in the past. They're trying to make it special. And Pete Alonso is part of that. And he knows it. So maybe, you know, and here's the thing. They offered him, obviously, 7 years or 6 years, 7 years for $158, and he declined it. They just recently offered him three for $90, and he declined it. I'll tell you right now, you offer him six for that 30 a year, which would be about 180, he'll take it. And why not just give it to him? You know, what about Pete Alonso is telling you this guy is done as a player, done as a power hitter, done as a first baseman? We're looking at Christian Walker, who just signed a 3-year contract with the Astros. Everyone was clamoring about him. Oh, he would be a great fit with the Yankees. Maybe the Mets should get him. Maybe this. But he's going to be 34 years old this year. At the end of his contract, he's going to be 37 years old. So if we're looking at Christian Walker as a 37-year-old, who, by the way, offensively has nothing on Pete Alonso. Has nothing on Pete Alonso. Defensively, yeah, okay, maybe he's a better fielder than Pete Alonso, but when we're talking about protection in the lineup, Christian Walker doesn't scare anybody. Pete Alonso does. So, how are you going to say Christian Walker's valuable at 36, 37 years old, but we don't think Pete Alonso will be? And he's still has 3 to 4 or 5 years till he gets to that point anyway. He is in the prime of his career. I know last year was not a great year for Pete Alonso, but for most other players, that is a hell of a year. 34 home runs, 88 RBIs, he batted 240. Listen, baseball today, you bat 240. That's the norm. Baseball has completely changed as far as batting average goes. His OPS was over 800. That's good. That's what you want. And his defense is better than people give him credit for. So you say, does he really want to play for the Mets? I think he does. I just think he wants the same respect that Aaron Judge got. Now listen, I'm not telling you that Pete Alonso is Aaron Judge. Pete Alonso is not even telling you that he's Aaron Judge. But Pete Alonso is saying, I feel like I deserve this amount of money because I've been a Met for so long. I'm gonna help you win. We're going to win together. I'm a big part of this puzzle here. You're going to want me on this team. They do. Well, at least I hope they do. He's not asking for $400 million. Aaron Judge did. And he didn't get it. He should have. He didn't get it. He got close to it. Pete Alonso is not telling you that he needs $400 million. He's asking for two. If the Mets want Pete Alonso, if they want him to play for the Mets, there is no reason why Steve Cohen and David Stearns can't work together and say, you know what, screw it. Give him the money. We're going to get it back. World Series, playoffs, World Series, breaking records. It's going to come back to us. We're going to get it back. So why not just give him the extra money? It's not going to hurt Steve Cohen's bankroll. It's not. The way that they're penny pinching on some of these pitchers and they're getting really good deals in short amount, I understand, oh, but the market says this, the market says that. Yeah, well, there was no market for anybody to say, oh, well, Juan Soto was going to get $7,500 million. Like, that was all I fought with people this past season was saying, oh, the guy's going to make $750 million. Like, there's no doubt about it. And I got into arguments, oh, no, he's going to make $500 million tops. $750, that makes no sense. And what did the guy do? He went out there and just cracked the code. Cracked the cheat code right there. 765, which could be 805. And you're telling me that Pete Alonso can't sniff 175 to 200? It should be simple. If you want the player, there's no reason why you can't go out there and say, we'll take him. And we'll give him closer to what he wants. The Mets are playing hardball. They want him at their price. And I get it. But there's sometimes you have to make exceptions. You made an exception for Juan Soto. Make the exception for Pete Alonso. 888-808-1019. That's the number to call. Let's go to Mike in Brooklyn. What's up, Mike?
Good morning, Peter. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Mike. What's going on?
Everything's good. Listen, first, a little public announcement. Everybody this year, I told you a story. So today actually is 25 years I lost my mom in a fire. So So everybody, just go out, hug your loved ones, spend a little time. And I know we're all busy, but what I wouldn't do for one more conversation with her. So, and have her meet my kids. So just a little public announcement. Dude, first of all, that guy from Montreal, I love that guy.
Tony.
I'm just like a stupid lunch pail guy. A couple weeks ago with the Tyson fight or whatever he called up, he's like, I smashed him in the mouth. I was like, great. All right, so now let's get down to business, my brother. So,
if it's about two, I'm hanging up the phone on you.
Well, you know the Dolphins are going to beat the Jets this weekend anyway, and then they'll make it to, they'll make it to the playoffs.
Stop it.
Let's go.
Dude, everyone's getting fired from Miami, too. It's terrible. It's terrible how quick things turn.
Yeah, they're just as bad. They're just as bad as the Jets, which is amazing. You know what I mean? Like, they both stink. So listen, so let's go through this whole sort of thing. First of all, the whole thing from last night, this is why, like, even Mets fans and Yankee fans, they all drive me crazy because they come up with these crazy narratives. So it went from, Soto wants to be the family with the Coens to, the narrative last night was the Mets aren't paying their family because how come they didn't pay DeGrom and Pete? The difference is you're paying for a younger guy. Listen, and you know, I don't agree with the contract. I think it's ridiculous, and we could have did a hell of a lot better and made a better team. The problem is that with Pete, you're paying for past performance, right? This year, he declined. The year before, he declined. Right, he's not, and the whole narrative with Walker. Look how much, because I heard you talking with BT and Sal the other day about how much. I think Sal said it. How much the contract is, and how much he should get versus Walker. Look at how much did Walker make last year? He made $12 million. The year before, he made $5 million, and the year before that, he made $2 million. So does Pete want to make that type of money at his age, or with almost similar, very similar stats?
Yeah, but they're two different players. I mean, Pete Alonso was first of all, Pete Alonso
was,
up until but Christian Walker was never.
He wasn't hitting 40 home runs, but he's better at first base, and he's still going to get you like 20 something home runs, 30 home runs, right? He's not going to hit 50, but who knows what happens with Pete going forward? You know, I don't know. And on top of that, getting with Boris, and I think talking out of both sides of his mouth, I want to be a Met forever. But then at the same time, you get a 7-year contract that you don't take for close to the money that he wants now. And then you get a 3-year contract at $90 million because he's declining, right? Of course they're going to play hardball with him. These guys, and I told you this when they signed Soto, everybody's like, don't worry about the money. You're an idiot. He's what? Of course they worry about the money.
Mike, here's the thing. Here's the biggest problem that I have with this whole situation here. Don't the Mets want to win, right? Isn't that the goal is to win?
Of course.
Okay, so when you have a player that can help you win now, why does it make it? Why are you thinking about, and I understand, I'm not stupid. I'm not going to say, why are you thinking about 15 years from now or 8 years from now and the deal might not be so good. I understand the back end of the contract is not going to be that exciting.
Yeah, but we know why he did it. We know why he did it.
But that's why you have to be creative with the way you pay it out. You know, there's so much deferred money nowadays. Like, Manaea took deferred money. Shohei Ohtani deferred so much money. You know, you got to
figure. I don't know why they didn't do that.
But, well, whatever the case is, though, Mike, they have to be able to be creative with these contracts and make it in a way where, maybe the fifth and sixth year of Pete Alonso's contract, maybe it's not going to be, he's not going to perform as great, but. Let's make it a way where it's not going to hurt us salary cap wise. Like, you got to be smarter than this. And that they're not doing that. That's the problem. They're just looking at the next 3 years of, hey, 3 for 90, call it a day.
And the problem now with the whole team is, if you literally look at the whole team, and if we're being honest with ourselves, we're better at one position. We're worse at other positions, and our pitching staff is worse. So I don't understand where all these people are like, we're going to be in the world. There's no way. First of all, we might even still be third this year in the National League East because everybody's coming back from, everybody's coming back from Atlanta, all the guys that were hurt, Strider and all those guys, Acuna, et cetera, et cetera. The Phillies are basically the same, plus they got Lizardo with, you know, neither here nor there, but they're still going to be good teams. Our hitting is worse, and our pitching is worse. So I don't understand where everybody's coming up with this.
Mike, the season's not, the off season's not done. Like,
who's left?
Well, first of all, Pete Alonso's left. Alex Bregman's left. Nolan Arenado's going to be traded.
Same guy. But Alonso, okay, just say he's still as good as he was 2-3 years ago. So it's a net zero, right? It's the same thing, right? We still have the same guy. We didn't improve. We improved at one position. We didn't improve anywhere else.
I do think they're getting two bats, Mike. I think that I don't think that they're just. I don't think they're just going for Pete Alonso or first baseman and calling it a day. I believe that they're going
to.
Listen.
Well, there's nobody left. Flaherty.
Well, that's not true.
Lorenzen. Who's left?
Did Lorenzen didn't sign, right? Yeah, Lorenzen didn't sign yet.
Lorenzen's left.
Flaherty. There's still a possibility for trades, though, man.
Pivetta. You and I don't really like Pivetta, but listen, I'm not trying to call it to be negative or whatever, but I just don't see it. If they didn't spend all that money on Soto, how they could have had just such a different team and I'm a big
fan. Yeah, but know what, though? I don't think, and this is why I believe, and Mike, thanks so much for a phone call, as always, dude. You're the man. You're sorry, I cut him off. The way that Steve Cohen spends is not reckless, but it's also not going to hurt them from going out there and making another splash if need be. Like, I don't think Steve Cohen signing Juan Soto is like, well, that's it, we're done, we're capped for the year. We're capped until, the next 15 years. We can't make another big splash. I don't think that's the case. I think when he needs to, he'll drop a hammer. He has no problem doing that. But at the moment, he's allowing David Stearns to do what he needs to do and play hardball. But at some point in time, I think he's just got to step up and say, you know what? Screw it. Let's go get Pete Alonso. Let's go get another. And again, they're waiting for the market to come down. I get it. Corbin Burns, I know, 6 years, 210. That was still pretty good. Max Fried signed a good enough contract. They're just waiting for guys to get a little desperate, where we saw Blake Snell last season take a really, a team-friendly deal. We saw Jordan Montgomery take a team-friendly deal. Matt Chapman take a team-friendly deal. There's so many team-friendly deals going into the season. JD Martinez took a team-friendly deal, and that is what David Stearns' goal is. Get the best team and create something where it's more team-friendly than anything else. But to me, if there's a special player out there that fits the Mets and helps the Mets, just get them. Don't lose them. 888-808-1019. Chuck Ray, we will get to you guys after the break. Coming up, we'll talk more Mets again. As we've opened up the Jets about Mike Vrabel. I quit. I actually quit. You can go back and listen to that on the Odyssey app around 12:15 this morning. Hit the rewind button. And about 12:15, I went and I quit. I'm not a Jet fan anymore. I'm over the Jets. I'm done with them. We also talked a little bit about the Knicks. If you want to talk about the Knicks, a close game yesterday against the Thunder. And obviously Pete Alonso now. Does he want to be a Met? I believe he does. 888-808-1019. Ray, Chuck, Mike, we'll get to you guys coming up after the break. Hit me up at Hoff, WFAN. With you on the Fan till 5 when Richard Neer takes over again. Hit me up at Hoff WFAN. on social media. Let's go to the phones. Ray's in Brooklyn. What's up, Ray? What's up, bro?
Hey, Mr. Hoff, Happy New Year and all that good stuff. I don't know if you have an expiration date on that, but I haven't spoken to you since, you know.
Well,
since,
Happy New Year. I'll let it slide today.
I appreciate that. Well, listen, I think you're gonna feel good about letting it slide, because I quote to give credit where credit's due, man. Like, the same way, you know, I critique when I feel it's needed, you've been spot on today. Like, you know, of course, on Aaron Rodgers and Pete Alonso. I really want to get into the whole Pete Alonso thing, surprisingly enough. Like, I want to defend the guy. I never thought I'd be saying that. But first, on Aaron Rodgers and the Jets, listen, let me make a recommendation, right? I know you like Brian Daboll, so maybe you might consider the Giants, because, you know, I'm actually on board with him coming back, because he gives us the best chance to lose, and maybe we can get Arch Manning next year. Now that they blew the chance at getting Shador Sanders, unless he pulls an Eli and, you know, and just forces his way here. But so I was going to recommend, right, the Buffalo Bills. I mean, the window's always open with Josh Allen. To me, he's the best player on planet Earth, and you'd really be sticking it to the Jets then. You know, so, you know, just food for thought. As far as Aaron Rodgers.
Well, hold on real quick, Ray, real quick. So my oldest and youngest are Buffalo. Actually, I think all my kids are Buffalo Bills fans. So it would be easy for my household if I did choose the Buffalo Bills, but I don't know if I could do that. I'm going to take a break. I'm going to invest in do some research and really find the team that I think is going to value my life. I value my life, so I'm going to pick a team that's really going to add value to it as well.
No, I mean, Buffalo's window's always open. It's an easy transition, it seems like, because your kids seem to like them. And, I mean, who's more likable than Josh Allen? Now, you guys currently have, I can't say you guys because you just disowned them, but the Jets currently have one of the most, unlikable players on the sports planet. You know, him and Kyrie Irving are 1 and 2. I don't know who's 1 and who's 2, but both of them are essentially equal. And let me just say this, to watch Aaron Rodgers crash and burn, I'm going to pay homage to Steve Summers, the great Steve Summers right here. So let me see, I'm going to make an attempt at it.
It was the most fun I ever had with my clothes on already. Maybe we should ship him to Sacramento.
So anyway, please excuse my terrible impersonation.
Yeah, that was pretty bad. Summers. I got to be honest with you. Steve Summers might be rolling around in his bed right now after hearing that.
No, he's probably happy that people still love him and people still remember him. But, yeah, no, Aaron Rodgers, let me tell you, it couldn't happen to a worse person. You know how people say it couldn't happen to a better person? It couldn't happen to a worse person. Like, the guy, like, completely has dragged your organization through the mud. You know, he's the source of every leak. Yet, you know, he talks about stopping. Look, I don't even got to get into it. You've been spot on from day one, and I can't even blame you for wanting to disown them. As far as Pete Alonso, I'm genuinely, look, I called yesterday. Me and C-Mac got into it. A couple of fans afterwards were pretty upset at him and I, because I brought up the case. I said, listen, the Mets talk about this whole narrative, about this whole family atmosphere and moving in that direction, but that's a one-off with Juan Soto, because they're treating their own prodigal son, their original son, the guy who started the rebuild, and the guy who performed in October last year, had a couple of the biggest hits. They would have never advanced without Pete Alonso. The guy they built up to be, you know, bigger and better than Aaron Judge, whether that was true or not, you know, they marketed him that way, and, you know, he was the face of the team. And ask Pete Alonso if he feels like family, maybe a stepchild, if that, because, like, it's like you said, Hoff, no way in hell. All right, they offered him a 160, you know, earlier on. Why are you spitting in the guy's face with $90 million when you just literally, maybe literally, bent over backwards for Juan Soto behind the scenes, you know, and gave him everything he wanted, and Pete Alonso's left out in the cold. Now, you know, not holding the bag, they're pinching pennies. I'm going to be honest with you. You had a previous caller who said that, like, you know, that you know, I guess they were a little afraid that, you know, the Juan Soto deal was it. And that's a legitimate concern. Because
I don't have that concern, Ray. I really don't. I really don't. I don't think.
Let me tell you why.
Why? Why do you think so?
Because everything else has been bargain basement. Like, you know, the Mets fans laughed at the Yankees when we had Montas and Holmes. But look at what you got, small market Burns now. They probably had a deal where it's like, all right, I'll do this one for you, Mr. Cohen, because, you know, this is your trophy. But now you got to let me do me and let me run the team the way I run the team.
But right, here's the thing, right? And where I understand where you're coming from, I don't think that Steve Cohen is going to allow David Stearns to penny pinch a roster and then not be successful. Like, I do have faith in David Stearns to get it right. Like, last year, everyone thought that the Mets were going to be a joke, and they went all the way to the NLCS. So they weren't really as much of a joke as everyone thought they were. Now, were they a perfect team? Not even close. I still think they have holes, had holes, and I believe that they still need to fix and add on. Like, Pete Alonso is one part of an addition to the offense. They still need to add another bat on top of that. The pitching, yeah, I'm not thrilled. And you can sit there and say that they're bargain binning right now, and we can make fun of Frankie Montas. I'm fine with you taking jabs on that, but
I'm not even taking jabs. The fact of the matter is that everybody was taking jabs at the Yankees and laughing at the Yankees when we acquired him, and people were laughing at Holmes.
But the difference is, and I'm going to be honest with you, what did they do with Frankie Montas? What did they do with Sonny Gray? What did they do with Lance Lynn? What did they do with some of these pitchers that have been on the Yankee roster and basically were like, yeah, they're not making it to New York, send them somewhere else?
Yeah, I mean, those guys just didn't seem built for New York, and the Mets happen to be in New York, so I don't know if Montas and Holmes are going to be...
That's where we're going to find out. That's where we're going to find out, Ray. Right. Thanks so much for the phone call. That's where we're going to find out whether or not this pitching lab is actually working. We're going to find out, you know, was Sean Manaea just a, you know, flash in the pan, or are they actually fixing something with him, and are they learning and progressing? You know, Quintana had a good year, but Jose Quintana is a professional pitcher. You know, he's always been around the way he performed last year. It's kind of how he always performs. So, is that the pitching lab, or is that just Jose Quintana? So it's really the Frankie Montas of the world. Like the fact that Luis Severino, I kind of got fixed, kind of looked better, pitched the most innings he pitched in a long time, was healthy. Yeah, maybe that was the pitching lab. But we'll find out from Frankie Montas if he can't pitch in New York with the Mets. Maybe it's a New York thing, or maybe he's just not good. Maybe the pitching lab doesn't really work as well as we thought. 888-808-1019. Chuck is in the truck. Chuck, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, what's up, Pete? I don't know why you campaigning so hard for Alonso, man. Has it got anything to do with having the same first name as you?
That's exactly it. I mean, that's basically, I want my whole team to be a bunch of Petes. I want Pete Alonso. Oh, okay. I want Pete and Cavilla. He doesn't play baseball anymore, but that's just the first Pete that came into my name. Came to my mind. I want Jeff Hoffman. He's a free agent right now. I'd like him to pitch on the Mets. So yeah, that's what I look for.
I mean, we might be cooking with grease there. You know, Pete, and you can do Jeff Hoffman in there. I forgot all about him.
Let's go.
But, no, man, I just don't. So Stearns is going to be smart with the money, and I'm sorry, man. Like, you know, with the declines, you know, in Alonso's game, you just can't go out there and give him 5 or 6 years. And I'm telling you, I think it would be totally different if you didn't have the first base market that we're going to have coming up, where you got guys like Guerrero, who's going to be just a year older than Soto. and you got a guy like Murakami coming over from Japan. This guy's hitting, 500-foot home runs. He's 24 years old. He's going to be 25 years old. You know, Cohen wants long, sustained success. He wants consistent winning. And what better way do you do that than you put Soto at 26 and Guerrero at 26, and you sandwich them, and then you put Vientos behind those guys, with Lindor leading off. That's the foundation that you can build off for the next 8 to 9 years. And then supplement in, free agents here, as well as, continue building the farm. You got a guy like Acuna on second base. He's 23. Alvarez is 23. So you back Guerrero second. You back Soto third. You back Vientos fourth. That could be your, the heart of your lineup for the next 10 years. And you can't throw that away for Pete Alonso. I'm sorry. He's just not that good of a player.
So let me ask you a question, though. You talk about decline on Pete Alonso, right? So he's he's going into his 30-year-old year. I understand that his batting average the past 2 years gives you cause of concern. I won't lie. Even though when he batted .215, he hit over 40 home runs. Last year, he batted up to .240. He's really been around the .250, .260 mark. That was really the early stage of his career. That's really what he was. He was never a huge batting average guy. But think about Adam Dunn. Adam Dunn had how many years of 30, 40-plus home runs, batted .240? I mean, that's what he did. Did he decline? No, yeah, I mean, he wasn't a good average hitter. But let me ask you a question. Look at Cody Bellinger, okay? Look at Cody Bellinger and tell me, do you think that he declined in 2020? I mean, 2020, I won't even count. But at 2019, he hit, I don't know how many home runs he had, but he had 115 RBIs, batted .305. In 2021, he batted .165. In 2022, he batted .210. And then in 2023, he batted .307. Is there a possibility that guys can decline and then get better? Is that a possibility or no?
Well, I mean, yeah, I think it's possible, but that's why they're putting the type of contract on the, out there that they are. With 3 years with the opt-out, so if Pete goes out and has a monster year, well then, okay, then maybe we can talk about a 5 or 6 year deal. But it's not only like the home runs and stuff. You got to remember, Pete Alonso, his OPS has also dropped. Like you said, he was over 800 last year. He was at 788. That's gone down 3 consecutive years. And more importantly, his runners in scoring position. He's gone from 270 to 240. Then he was down by like the Mendoza line with that. And he just hasn't been coming through.
Yeah,
and if it wasn't for that home run, that one home run against Devin Williams where he was tipping his pitches, we're probably not even having this conversation.
Okay, but
because I don't know the fans that wanted him back before that.
I always did, so I'm not going to be one of those people that were like, oh, it was after the home run that changed my mind. No, I always wanted Pete Alonso back. But isn't it a possibility that he just had a bad year? Like, you have to compare his numbers, right? Look at his numbers. If you want to go through hits, in 2019, when he had 53 home runs, batted .260, his highest OPS was .941. He had 120 RBIs, he had 155 hits. In 2022, okay, or 2021, he had 147 hits compared to 155 in 2019. He had 37 home runs. He had a batting average of .262. He had an OPS of .863. So his OPS was really just the first year where he had 53 home runs, which was .941. But everything else was .863, .817, .869. So, I mean, it didn't really drop that much. He had a bad season last year. We're not going to sit there and fight you. I'm not fighting you on that. Pete Alonso did not have a great season last year. But I'm also not going to look at it and go, hey, you know what? He's a bad player. He signs a contract. I bet last year he never was in a groove. I'm telling you right now, he signs a contract. He'll find that groove.
Who would? Yeah, but you can't risk $200 million on that. Who would you rather have for the long haul, Pete Alonso or Vladimir Guerrero?
Why can't you have both?
If you would have both, then I think that would be more likely on if Pete comes in for the 390, I think we still have a shot of saying, hey, Pete, you know, you're going to have to slide over to DH. We're bringing Guerrero. He's not going to give Alonso $200 million and then turn around and give Guerrero $500 million after giving Soto $800 million. He's just not.
Why?
He's not going to do that.
I don't understand why not, though. Chuck, I don't understand what makes you think that he's not going to – if that's what they want to do, if that's what it's going to take to win and – listen, look at the freaking Dodgers. They spend money left and right.
Think about this. We got Lindor at $340 million.
Okay.
He just gave Soto $800 million. There's no doubt in my mind that he'll go out and give Guerrero $500 million. And then, you know, we do have some pitchers next year that are going to be available.
And Chuck, and this is the reason why, and I appreciate the phone call, and I get it. And that's why the Mets are finding places where they don't have to spend as much money, which is why the pitching is so cheap and why they're only doing short-term contracts with the pitching, because they're going to spend money on certain players that are going to help them offensively be competitive for a long time. Like, Juan Soto is not here for 5 years. He's here for 15. If you're talking about Vlad Guerrero Jr. and they're going to pay him $500 million, you could pay Pete Alonso $200 million. I'm sorry, you can. All right? You can. For 7 years, you could pay him $200 million for 7 years and call it a day. And you have that bat in the lineup. You could secure that power bat in the lineup. Think about that. Juan Soto, Francisco Lindor, Mark Vientos, Pete Alonso. You say Vlad Guerrero Jr., Francisco Alvarez. Like, that's great. Brandon Nimmo, you're building a great roster. But don't sit there and tell me that they can't do it. They can. There's other teams in this league that are doing the same exact thing. The Dodgers are doing it. They're literally spending $700 million on Shohei Ohtani and then giving out, you know, how much money they gave to Blake Snell this past year. How much money did they give to Glasnow? How much money did they give to the Mookie Betts? I mean, they're giving out money left and right. They're signing everybody. So the Mets can't do that because, well, you know, they don't want to get into that money hole. Doesn't work like that anymore. Not in baseball where there's no cap. 888-808-1019. Mike, Chris, we'll get to you guys after this. Talking more Pete Alonso about, does he want to be here? I think he does, and I think he's worth the money. Give him that contract, whether it's 175, whether it's 200, 7-year deal, 8-year deal, whatever. Pete Alonso should be a Met for life. End the story. 888-808-1019. Hit me up at Hoff, WFAN. Pete off with you on the fan for another three plus hours until Richard Neer takes over at 5 a.m. You can always hit me up at Hoff WFAN. Now, has anybody seen, there's a lot of weird Guinness World Records out there, but I saw one that I could not believe was even a thing. Like, why did you even, or how did you even come about it? And it was of a guy licking fans, or stopping a fan with his tongue.
Huh.
How many do you think, I'm trying to remember the time of this was. What do you think, how many fans do you think he stopped in a record time?
I mean, depends on how, like, I'm going to say like 10. I feel like it might be too low. I'm going with like, I'm going, I'm, I, you know, I'm going to say like 10, between 10 and 15.
And how, in a minute. It's a minute, by the way.
1 minute? Okay, I was just going to ask. It depends on how long it was. All right, 1 minute? I'll go between 10 and 15. I'll go with that.
57 electric fan blades were stopped with his tongue in 1 minute.
How did his tongue not get
cut off? Yeah. So where did you come up with this idea that this would be a good idea?
Well, that's too.
The first thing, right?
Of course.
Where do you come up with a, hey, by the way, I think I want to stop an electric fan with my tongue? When does it become like a Guinness? You know, when do you call Guinness up and say, hey, right, I got this great idea that I did? First of all, I think that's kind of dangerous, but whatever, they chose to do it. Yeah, it's very peculiar, some of these things, the Guinness World Records. But I saw this the other day, and it's just ridiculous. The guy's literally just sticking out his tongue as the fans are going by, and yeah, can't be good.
Yeah, that can't, like, I feel like a medical professional should have said, yeah, you definitely should not do that.
For many reasons.
Well, yeah, just A, it's dangerous. B, like, you cut your tongue off. Like, what the heck are you going to do?
But where's the first time that you discover that this is something that you know? Where do you go, this seems like a good idea to me to be put? Like, back in the day, my parents were like, don't put your finger anywhere near a fan. Now everyone's got, like, you know, ACs on full blast 24/7, so whatever. But back in my day, like, you know, there were fans. We had huge fans with the blades. You chop your finger off. This guy's like, I'm just going to stick my tongue in there and cause it to stop.
I mean, yeah, like, he just one day woke up and said, I wonder who has the record for consecutive fans stopped by their tongue. This person obviously put a lot of research into this.
Yeah,
put a lot of thought.
He did. And Guinness gave him the time to do it. The Guinness said, we're coming out. We're coming out. We're doing it. We're going to your place and we're getting the we're getting this on video.
How did the Guinness, they sent a representative from Guinness Book of World Records this over there. How do you sit there and just like, all right, like this is not safe. This is not going to work. If I see this poor guy's tongue get chopped off, now what am I going to do?
And here's the other thing too, like how long is his tongue? Because like I would think my tongue is not very long, so I'd feel like my nose is going to get chopped off a little bit too. There's going to be a lot of serious damage to the face.
The one time
you kissed the fan?
Yeah, like, well, the guy, who was it? Like, the lizard man, you know, like that lizard man against
him? Yeah.
Like, he actually, like, literally, like, cut his tongue to, like, make it look, like, to actually make it look like. People do weird stuff. People do very strange things. That is one of those things where I thought, all right.
Yeah, so, guys, if you missed it, just go check it out. 57 electric fans with his tongue.
I'm impressed.
Good job. Let's go to Mike in Palm Coast, 888-808-1019. What's up, Mike?
Hey, Pete, how you doing?
I'm good. What's up?
All right. Well, you know, I'm a Yankee fan 50 years and a Met hater 50 years. It's important to say that because...
Nice. Is that a fan in the background, by the way?
That's my fish tank. I'm sorry.
Sound like a fan.
Yeah, anyhow, listen, that should be a little bit better. You keep saying, a lot of callers are saying, you don't understand, $150 million, $180 million, whatever, for Pete Alonso and stuff. I agree, he's worth that kind of money and everything, but you're miscalculating. Cohen is under 110% luxury tax. So if you pay him $30 million a year, you're paying $63 million a year for Pete Alonso. 5 years, you're not paying him $150 million. You're paying him $310 million. That Soto contract so much handcuffed the Mets. They're paying him $805 million guaranteed because that raise is guaranteed after 5 years. $805 million. But at 110% of payroll tax, that you're talking about almost $2 billion they're paying Soto. This game has been played before. A-Rod with Texas, they couldn't get no players. They couldn't afford it no more. Last place, 3 years. Trout, 14 years. Miggy Cabrera, 14 years. Ohtani 6 years with the Angels. What happened to all of those teams? They could not get no more players because of luxury tax, and they weren't even subjected to the Cohen tax because what Cohen did. Everybody knew what Cohen was when he was trying to buy the Mets 4 years ago. The 29 other owners, all billionaires, they're not stupid. They met and they told them, do not blow up the AAV value. But what does he do a couple years into it? He blew it up on those short-term deals with Scherzer and Verlander. So they said, okay, we'll restructure the tax. No more 50% luxury tax, 110%. Stay over 1, 2, 3 years. So basically in the Soto era of 15 years, they'll be paying 110% tax, if not more.
Yeah, but again, you're right that there's going to be some salary cap hits, the luxury tax is going to hit bad for some years. It's not every year.
Because he'll never be under. The only way for you to get under is to reset and get under the designated, because no cap technically, but they do set a mark for the tax where it's
right. So they can reset. It's not. This is not guaranteed that they're going to have a $400 million or $300 million payroll every single year. They're going to reset. And if they don't, big deal.
Soto and all these other guys you want, you don't even have a pitching staff. They need 8 more players. As the Mets are constructed right now, they're a 70-win team at best. At best. Come on. Look at that pitching staff. It's pathetic. Look at that bullpen. It's pathetic.
Yes. Do you think that this is how they're going to go into the season?
Yes.
I'm going to hang up on you on that one. There's no chance that they're going to walk into the season the way they are right now. I understand it's January 4th. And we're getting, a month and change away from pitchers and catchers, and it's getting a little crazy. But this is now the how these negotiations go. Last year we saw how many guys sign last minute. This is how it goes now. Some of these players, they're going to want to get paid, and they don't jump early. They sit and hopefully some team is going to come through and pay them the big bucks. It's crazy, but 888-808-1019. We will get back into we opened up with the Jets. We've been talking a lot about Pete Alonso. Opened up, we talked about the Knicks as well as a close loss last night versus the Thunder. It was a fun game, but the Knicks came up short. We'll do a little Giants in a little bit as well. 888-808-1019, but now, here he is, Marco Belletti, with the update.